Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of where are the 9. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the beautiful songs that have been sung pointing us to the cross of Christ, the source of all of our blessings, that work which we should ever be grateful and thankful for, Lord Jesus. No matter what lot we may find ourselves in this life, nothing can rob us of our glorious position in Christ by faith in his atoning work. Lord, today I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon me, to remind your people, Lord, of the great, great blessing. Help me to put it forth, Lord Jesus, the magnitude of the blessing that we have by knowing and being in fellowship with God through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I've been in ministry now in one way or another for over 25 years. And being in full-time ministry for approximately 12 years, I had the opportunity as pastor to make quite a number of visits to people who were dying or who had just lost a loved one. And of course, it's always a victory when somebody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ steps from this life into the next. Even though that death is hard for us to comprehend as human beings, and even human beings who know Christ and are in him, there's still a sense of loss that is felt, because it's impossible yet for us to fully comprehend the glory of what's lying just ahead for all of us on the other side. Making these visits, there's one that stands out in particular. And to this day, I would still say it is the most difficult pastoral visit I ever had to make when someone had lost a loved one. Sister Kathy Fish was a registered nurse, one of the finest in the county, in Knox County, when I was pastoring at Mount Vernon. And I'll never forget the day she came to church with a friend of hers for the very first time and heard the message of the cross. And Kathy had been living a life of sin, even though she had been raised in a Christian home. She had a great job and was a very intelligent lady. Sin had wrapped its way around her life, and she was wanting to commit suicide, unbeknownst to me, as she sat in service that day. And as the Holy Spirit moved through the message that day, which of course was centered on Christ and him crucified, the Holy Spirit, the high sheriff of heaven, reached out and touched her heart. And she would tell me later, I'd never heard the gospel put that way before. She said, everybody had always told me that I had to do something. I had to clean my own life up. That the focus of all of making myself right before God was upon me. And she said, when you preached that morning and told me that it was through faith in Christ was the only way we could ever be made acceptable to God, she said, something went off in my spirit, and I knew that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want. And Kathy gloriously came that morning and gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ and began serving him. She was a model church member. I mean, she was one of those people who just about like everybody I'm looking at right now, if ever pastor had a bunch to pastor like you all, and I say this without hesitation, you're a great bunch of folks. Everybody would want to be a pastor. I mean that. But Kathy was one of those who, if ever pastor had a church full of people like her, everybody would be lined up wanting to be a pastor, because she would work tirelessly. She would do whatever needed to be done. And she grew wonderfully in the Lord. I remember vividly the day that she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She had come from a church background, a Baptist background, where they didn't believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And when I preached on that subject, Kathy came forward that morning but didn't receive the baptism. There were a few things that she just needed explained to her. And I'll never forget, she called me on the Monday after the service. It was one of those good Monday morning calls. And she said, Pastor, she said, I am so hungry for what you preached on yesterday, and I don't know why I didn't receive. And I counseled with her for just a few moments, and I said, Kathy, just like you were saved, I said, it's a free gift of God. You don't have to beg him for it. I said, if you'll just receive it by faith like you did your salvation, I said, ask him, and let's pray. And I prayed with her on the phone, and at that moment, you felt the presence of God. We both did. We bore witness to that, but still she did not speak in tongues. And I want to make this perfectly clear. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence that one has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not the only evidence, but it is the initial evidence. And there's plenty of biblical proof for that. But Kathy did not speak in tongues. And I told her, I said, keep praying, Kathy. And as I hung up the phone, I felt somewhat defeated. I just thought, Lord, what's wrong? What can I tell this lady that'll help her pray through? Because we put up so many blocks as humans on God's blessing sometimes. We really do. We think we ought to have to work for it or earn it. We come up with a myriad of things. And I said, Lord, just please touch her. And I was disturbed in my spirit that somehow she didn't get prayed through to the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And about 5 minutes passed. The phone rang again, and it was Kathy. And she was shouting so loud, I had to hold the phone out like this away from my ear. And she was gloriously speaking the prayer language that God had given her as God, Jesus had baptized her in the Holy Ghost. It was beautiful. And Kathy went on growing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord. She found a new husband, Jim, who came and got saved too at the church. And life was going great for her. She adopted her granddaughter, her little granddaughter Caitlin, who was a beautiful little girl of 6 years old, because Kathy's son and daughter-in-law had become addicted to heroin. And they would leave this beautiful little girl all alone by herself many times through the night. And when Kathy found out about it, her and Jim went and made provision to adopt little Caitlin. And little Caitlin was just a sweetheart of a girl. She was beautiful. And then there came the day that Kathy got the news, when everything seemed to be going right for her, she was diagnosed with the worst kind of brain cancer a person could have. And we went to prayer for Kathy. Of course, we believed God, and it went into remission for a time. It was about a year, if I remember correctly. But God, in his wisdom, used Kathy's life to preach to so many people through that brain cancer, because Kathy never lost faith. As I would go and visit her in the hospital, many times I went in thinking, Lord, what am I going to tell her? And it got to the point, literally, and I'm sure you'll bear witness with this, there are some people that are like this, where when I needed a pick-me-up, if I needed a pick-me-up through the week, I'd go visit Kathy in the hospital. Because she was so full of faith, laying there, she would always have a good word. Even she was suffering greatly and in a lot of pain, she would always have a good word about the goodness of God and how great Jesus was and all he'd done in her life. Even as her life seemed to be, in this world anyway, ebbing away. And I'd like to stand and tell you this morning, you know, a glorious testimony that the Lord healed her of the brain cancer, which he can certainly do, but for his own reasons. In this instance, the Lord took her on home. He took her on home. And I remember the day before Kathy went home to be with the Lord. It was my last visit with her in the hospital. And little Caitlin had stayed all night with us a few nights. And Taryn Austin were still yet very, very young. I mean, I think 3 and 1. And Caitlin was about 6 at this time, I believe. And we tried to minister to her. And Caitlin had the faith of her grandmother. I mean, she was just one of those kids who just got it at a very tender age. And she loved Jesus. And Caitlin would always say, God's going to heal my grandma. God's going to heal my grandma, Pastor. And I'd say, Caitlin, you just keep on believing that. And my last day visiting Kathy, she had such words of encouragement. She could hardly talk. Her voice was very weak. But one of the last things she told me was, Pastor, God is good, and I'm so grateful for what he did for me on the cross. And she said, Pastor, don't worry about me. She said, I can't lose. I'm in God's hands. She said, however he chooses to heal me, I'm going to get healed. Man, that's faith. That's faith. That is faith personified. And Kathy was just that way. And the very next morning, I guess it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, the Lord took her on home. I got the call at about 7 o'clock. And it was from Caitlin's aunt who had called to tell me Kathy's brother had been in the hospital with her when she went on to be with the Lord. And she said, I don't know what to tell little Caitlin. She's convinced that the Lord is going to heal her grandma. She said, will you come talk to her? And I thought, oh God, what am I going to tell this little girl? I mean, I was scared because if you're not careful with a child, at least how I was feeling, you could ruin their faith in Christ forever. Really, you could make a shipwreck of it. And it was still the most daunting visit that I've ever had to make to anybody. And it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. They'd kept her home from school that day. And I told Caitlin's aunt, I said, I'll be there. I said, just give me a few minutes to pray and get ready because I don't know what to tell her. And I drove up to the house, and I remember sitting there in front of her aunt's house, literally trembling, because I thought, oh God, if you don't give me the words to tell this little girl, I don't know what to tell her, Lord. How to put it in terms that her little mind could understand, especially when you consider the background that little Caitlin had come from, one of abuse, one of neglect. Her grandmother and stepfather were the only stability this little girl had ever known, and now that's been taken from her. And I walked in, and little Caitlin came out. I sat down on the couch, and she was just a beautiful child, had these big, beautiful blue eyes. And she said, hi, Pastor. And I said, hi, Caitlin. How you doing, sweetie? She said, good. And she came and sat down. She said, what are you doing here? Just childlike. And I said, well, Caitlin. And my voice was trembling. My eyes, I know, were full of tears. I said, Caitlin, I need to talk to you. She said, okay. And I saw the somber look come upon her face. She no doubt could discern my spirit and that something was bad wrong. I said, Caitlin, it's about your grandma. I said, this morning, she went on home to be with Jesus. And Caitlin bowed her little head and leaned over on my shoulder, and she began to cry. And she did so for just about 2 or 3 minutes. And I didn't know what to tell her. All I could do was hold her and pray and ask the Lord, please touch this little child. Don't let this destroy her faith in you. It's all I knew. That was all she had. And I didn't want to say nothing that would dissuade that faith in any way. And after about 2 minutes, I'll never forget it as long as I live, she pushed herself back. And she took those beautiful little hands and wiped those tears. And by this time, I was crying probably harder than she was. And with that little hand, she reached over and placed it on my hand. And she said, Pastor, don't worry. God healed my grandma. She's with Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I wanted to do flip-flops. It's still indelibly inscribed upon my mind, every detail of that talk. And I said, Caitlin, you're exactly right. I said, God healed your grandma just like you were asking him to. And that little girl stood tall through the entire funeral proceedings. And she was telling everybody, God healed my grandma. She's with Jesus. She's not hurting anymore now. Oh, my Lord, no wonder Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Here this little six-year-old girl understood faith 100 times better than maybe I ever will. Praise God. That's Holy Ghost power, church. And she was grateful. She told me one of the last times I talked to her, and I'd love to know where she is right now. I don't, but I did hear that she, her Kathy's brother and her aunt took her on, and they were wonderful Christian people, attended another church there in Mount Vernon. And I heard they moved from the area. I don't know really where they are now. But I would like to. I'd like to be able to one day tell Caitlin. Do you know how much your faith blessed me, Caitlin? But in any event, she would tell everybody how grateful she was to God for healing her grandma. And that one day she knew she was going to see her grandma again in heaven. Wow. Wow. I tell you that story for this. With this being Thanksgiving week, if you know Jesus, no matter what your situation, you always got something to be grateful for. If you know Jesus, if everything is crumbling in this life that we're living right now, we're the redeemed of the Lord. We've got the promises of Almighty God that we sang about this morning. Hallelujah. That we should be the most grateful, thankful people on earth on the darkest days of our life. But why do you not find that in the Christian world? In the story we read this morning, we find that Jesus, probably during the last year of his ministry on earth, is going through Samaria and Galilee when he comes upon a band of 10 lepers. And the Holy Spirit doesn't put it in the word, but I believe, like in other instances, Jesus did nothing by accident. His steps were being guided toward these 10 lepers, to walk by them, because Jesus said he came to seek and save that which was lost. There is no greater illustration in the natural realm of what sin is than leprosy. Leprosy, once it's contracted, slowly eats away at the human body, leaving it literally a shell of what it was intended to be. That's exactly what sin does to the human soul and spirit unless it's repented of. Unless it's washed in the blood of Jesus, it will destroy an individual. In reading this week, I read some from a book by A.W. Tozer, who you know I hold in high regard. And it struck me what he said when he was alluding to the fact of how sin was like leprosy. He said, there is no such thing as a private sin. I want that to sink in for a moment. He said, there's no such thing as a private sin. He said, sin is so debaucherous and debilitating, and so evil, that whatever we do in private is bound to affect those we love in public. Wow, I don't know about you, but that hit me hard. Because sometimes I think, to those of us who know the grace and mercy of God and have walked in it for some time, it can become very easy for us to forget what he brought us out of. The sin that he delivered us from, how far we had fallen away from him, what a distance there was between us and him, and us having no ability of our own volition to get to him. But praise God, he came looking for us, just like he did these 10 lepers. And they obviously knew who he was and couldn't believe he came after me. I tell you, church, it makes me want to shout still, I'm glad he came after me. He didn't have to do it. Aren't you glad he came after you? He didn't have to do it. But God, the Holy Ghost, directed the message of the gospel your way one day. And on that day, you were made clean, you were made whole, you were healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Glory to God. You know, I find it somewhat humorous at times when people say something like, especially after we've heard of some dramatic testimony, and praise God for them, I'm not demeaning it, where God's delivered somebody of heroin or cocaine or brought them out of a terrible sexual addiction of some kind. And I've heard people in the church say this, and it shows a gross misunderstanding of how far away we all were from Jesus and God's standard. And they'll say something to the effect of, well, brother so-and-so has a great testimony. I wish I had a testimony. That's absurd. I want to tell you, if you're feeling that way, I love you, but you're thinking really stupid. You are. You know why? Because all of us were on the same ground before we came to Christ. All of us were hell-bound sinners, bound by sin, who had no hope of saving ourselves, but He came. I tell my two kids all the time, being raised in a pastor's home don't save you. All they've ever known is being in church every Sunday almost of their lives. But I'm quick to remind them, that don't save you. What you do for God don't save you or make you right with God. You'd better, and I've taught them this, you need to go to God and repent of your sin and ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, because you're as lost as the worst of the lost are until you ask Jesus to cleanse you in His precious blood. Nobody's saved by osmosis. And I've watched particularly pastors' kids in the church grow up thinking, because it's all they knew, that they're saved. That they're saved. And some people have walked with the Lord so long and walked in His goodness so long, they believe the same thing. Really. Well, I'm just saved because I've been saved a long time. They have forgotten where they would have been had Christ not come. They have forgotten how they had no hope. They were the worst of sinners. Paul said it best, I was chief of sinners. We all were chief of sinners. But one day the gospel in the form of Jesus Christ, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, came walking by our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was not by accident. It was not by accident. It was pre-planned in the portals of glory. And when these 12 lepers heard it was Jesus, they cried out to Him. They'd no doubt heard. And the life of a leper in biblical times was the most horrific of lifestyles. They had to shout anytime anyone under the Levitical law came within approximately 50 yards of them being a leper. They had to cry out, unclean, 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 three times. They couldn't even go visit their families. They lived a totally separated life from society, having nobody to even touch them or to love on them in any capacity. What a life that is. Again, it's a perfect picture of sin. There's such loneliness in sin. I think back to the most lonely days my soul has ever known, and it was when I was in sin. I remember the feeling of what it's like to be lost. Do you remember the feeling of what it was like to be lost? How long has it been since you took a few steps back there and remembered all that Jesus Christ has done for you? I remember what it felt like to be lost. I remember that dark loneliness that would settle over my soul at times when no one else was around. It's horrible. It's mind-bending. No wonder poor sinners go after every kind of thing known to man to try and make that feeling go away. No wonder they try to pump so many pills down them, that hoping for a moment of solace, hoping for a moment of peace, and never finding it. But these 12, or these 10, excuse me, knew that Jesus, whom they had no doubt heard of, although they couldn't touch anybody, His fame had spread all throughout the Galilean countryside and through Samaria. He can cleanse lepers. He can raise the dead. He can open blinded eyes. And he's the one. He's the one. And these men are desperate. They're desperate. They have no hope at all. And sometimes desperation is not a bad place to be, because desperation always precedes revelation. Know that. Desperation always precedes revelation. Sometimes God has got to allow us to reach a point of abject desperation so he can do in us what he wants to do. He's got to take us to a place to where we are totally convinced there's no hope and nobody can help me. And that drives us then to look unto the Master, as these 10 lepers were doing that heard about him. And they send out the cry, Jesus, have mercy on us. God never turns down a cry like that. I don't care how vile the sin, I don't care how wicked the individual, if they'll cry out to Jesus Christ, he'll hear that cry and he will answer. And as they cried out to Jesus, no doubt hearing about his great miracles, have mercy on us. Oh, my Lord, what a prayer that is. It may not sound eloquent. It may not sound fanciful. But it's the kind of prayer that will take a sinner and make them right before God. Jesus, have mercy on us. We in the church today lead people in a sinner's prayer. I try to at times just to so they'll know and understand. You have no hope of saving yourself. That's why we're leading you in this prayer. I want that sinner to be keenly aware of the fact that he can do nothing to help himself. Before God can do all he wants to do in a person's life, they have to be brought to that point to where they're totally convinced there's nothing nobody can do but God. And that's where these lepers were. Jesus, have mercy on us. You know, they weren't praying the 7 keys to victorious prayer or 7 secrets of this or that. It was Jesus, have mercy on us. Wow. Aren't you glad that God ain't like a lot of preachers and teachers? Now, somebody missed a good chance to say amen there. Aren't you glad God's not a man? Aren't you glad, hallelujah, that he man looks on the outside, but he looks on the heart? And the most powerful prayers we'll pray sometimes are those simple prayers like, God, help me. Jesus, have mercy on us. And the Bible says they shouted from afar off, keeping with the Levitical law. No wonder when they saw him coming. Even though it's not recorded in Scripture, no doubt they cried out in unison. 10 hopeless lepers, unclean, unclean, unclean. That let Jesus know and those around them, they were lepers. But then they cry, Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And the Lord responds by telling them this. Go show yourself to the priest. He doesn't say, you're healed, go your way. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Give me just a little bit of time to take you into something very beautiful under the Levitical law. In the book of Leviticus, when it came time for someone who had been a leper, and it had been discovered that they were now clean, that leper would have to go and present himself to the high priest under the Levitical law. And usually lepers were quite poor, and the sacrifice that was required was a turtle dove. The most inexpensive form of animal that could be sacrificed under the sacrificial system that God gave. And the leper would come to the high priest, and he would bring this turtle dove, and he would ask the priest, saying, I've had leprosy, and I'm now clean, and I'm bringing this sacrifice. Will you inspect me and accept me as being clean? The high priest would then, before receiving that sacrifice, would then have the leper, or the one who was a leper, remove his outer garment, where his skin would be inspected to make sure there were no more open sores or no more putrefying boils on his body. And then the priest would turn and announce to those in the outer courtyard, clean, 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 three times. And then the priest would receive that turtle dove, and he would take hyssop wood, or hyssop and acacia wood. That is which it believed the cross of Christ was made of, acacia wood. That which the ark was made of, the ark of the covenant. He would take acacia wood, and he would bind it around. It was two turtle doves that had to be brought. He would take the first turtle dove and bind with scarlet thread that acacia wood around that bird. And he would then take under running water that little bird's head and literally twist it off. You say, that's horrible, that's ugly. It was a type of the cross. Sin is an ugly business. Redeeming sin is an ugly business. A penalty had to be paid for our cleansing. And he would take the head of that little bird and twist it off and let its blood and water drain together. And then he would take it and throw it on the burnt offering, burning the sacrifice up completely. Then he would take the second bird, and he would also take scarlet thread and hyssop and acacia wood and bind it around that bird. And then he would take that bird and throw it into the air and let it fly away. What's transpiring there? When Jesus makes you clean, your high priest, you're three times clean. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost completely declared holy and righteous. Clean, clean, clean. On the day you were saved spiritually, that's what happened to you and I. We presented ourselves to the high priest, Jesus Christ. He cleansed us first. And then he declared us clean before God the Father. And then he took our sin and he cast it as far as east is was to west, never to be remembered against us again. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you don't have something to be thankful for, no matter what you're going through. Every child of God who's been washed in the blood of Jesus ought to wake up every morning with a shout when they look at the glory of what's been done for them on the cross. How hopeless we were and how mighty our salvation is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus tells them, go present yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they were walking, they realized something. Get this scene now, if you will. Here's these 10 men who have been ostracized by society, having no hope at all. But Jesus came their way and came after them, just like he did for you and I. And they cry out for mercy. He says, go show yourselves to the priests. 10 of them. And I can just get this picture as they're walking, knowing the kind of lives they've had to live. Can't you just hear them talking? Well, he didn't heal us like he healed the other people. Wonder why he didn't make a great pronouncement over us. And he could cleanse us. Why has he got us going to the priest? But as they're walking, all of a sudden the realization hits them. Maybe one of them, or perhaps several of them at once, looked down. And they realized the putrefying sores and the oozing boils are not there anymore. Praise God. Praise God. You'd think that would have caused them all such rejoicing. You'd think it would have caused, as Michelle said it best, an attitude of gratitude in their hearts, knowing the kind of life they had to live and knowing that now they'd been pronounced, not only pronounced clean, but made clean by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus had touched them and healed them as they obeyed his command to go to the priest. Why would Jesus command them to do that? You ask one thing. He knew the Jewish system then, which his death on the cross was going to represent, but he knew it better than anybody. And he knew for these lepers to be able to reenter society and live normal lives again, they'd have to be declared clean by the earthly priest. Even though he had already made him clean, he knew under the Levitical law that he was fulfilling in the process of fulfilling and would ultimately fulfill by giving his life on the cross. That for them to be accepted back into their homes and back into their societies, the priests would have to declare him clean. We're not told in Scripture anymore about 9 of these 10 lepers. Scripture is silent on them. We don't know if they went to the priest. And it's an amazing thing to me, as I've observed over the years, and possibly you've wondered this at times too, how God can heal, and does heal, somebody who doesn't even know Jesus as their Savior. Have you seen that happen before? You would think that individuals like this would be so grateful to Jesus Christ that they'd be the ones that would be in church every Sunday and they'd be stalwarts for the kingdom of God. And rarely do you see it happen that way. Most of the time, there'll be maybe a small acknowledgement of, yeah, God help me. And then most of them will die lost, has been my experience, even after the Lord has performed a miraculous healing on their behalf. That's the attitude of the 9. That's why only one of them, who was a Samaritan. And as I begin to close, I know I don't have to go into, you've heard it before, how hated the Samaritans were by the Jewish people. They were considered outcasts. And to be a leprous Samaritan, well, that would just be the lowest of the low. I mean, you really couldn't reach a lower strata of society in Jewish culture than to be a Samaritan and be a leper on top of it. But it was the Samaritan leper who, when he realized he had been made clean and made whole by the Master, he came running back to him. And the Bible says that he was shouting God's praises loudly, thanking God for healing him. He was grateful. He was grateful for what Jesus had done for him. There was an awareness on his part of how helpless and hopeless he was and what a great thing Jesus had done for him. This Thanksgiving season, as you sit with your families, I want you to think about this. Those of you whom our high priest Jesus has declared us clean and made us clean and cast our sins away. Maybe your familial situation is not perfect. I don't know of one that is, I'll be honest with you. You know, this junk of people come up with, well, I came from a dysfunctional family. We all come from dysfunctional families. Can I tell you that? Because we're all born into sin. Only redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're all somewhat dysfunctional. So you can't blame it on that. You've got a lot to be grateful for. If you're cognizant and stay cognizant of the fact of what Jesus did for you. That's why there's so little joy in most of our churches today, is because the cross isn't preached. And I can hear the Savior, I believe, calling from heaven to his church. Where are the 9? Have I not redeemed all these people through shedding my precious blood? And there's only a few who are coming back to live lives thankfully and gratefully to me for cleansing them. You see, because we were cleansed from something far greater than leprosy. We were made whole from something that was far more debilitating than leprosy will ever be. Jesus healed our souls and spirits. He cleansed us from sin in his precious blood. That day we cried out to him, Jesus, have mercy on me. And maybe you didn't use those exact words, but in some fashion we all had to. Lord, have mercy on me. And he said, I will. I will. And he washed you in his precious blood and then presented you before God the Father, whom we were so far away from. That's why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 or 14 says, but ye who were once afar off are now made nigh to God in Christ Jesus. How close are we to God through our faith in Jesus Christ? We're literally one with God now. Now, you may not think of yourself as that, and it could not be done except through Jesus Christ. Some, when they teach this doctrine, they make the mistake of not placing the emphasis on Jesus and placing the emphasis upon man, which is the worst form of rank heresy. Placing the emphasis on what Jesus did for us at Calvary, we are totally united as one with Almighty God. That's what a great salvation we possess. That's why we should, no matter what is going on, if we will focus on that, we always got something to be grateful and thankful for. Jesus told this one who came back, he asked him the question, where's the nine? In other words, didn't I heal 10 of you? And only one of you has come back to say thanks? Only one of you has come back with a heart of gratitude for what I've done? That's sad to think about. But if we don't live our lives focused every day on Christ and Him crucified, we'll wind up being like the nine. That's all of us. That's why you can't overpreach the cross. You can't be reminded enough to give glory to Jesus Christ for that powerful work He's done on the cross. And if you understand your spiritual state before He cleansed you in His precious blood, it's enough to make one of these pews want to shout. Nobody have to prompt you to raise your hands. Nobody have to prompt you to say, praise you, Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you have to get up and run an aisle and jump a pew. I'm talking about going on the inside of your soul and spirit. You don't need praise prompters if you understand the cross. Because an understanding of the cross means not only do you understand how powerful a cleansing took place for you and I, but you also understand how hopeless and helpless you were had He not come by to declare you clean. Hallelujah. This Thanksgiving season, focus on the most precious asset you have, and that's knowing Christ as your Savior. And knowing how clean you are before a holy God. And knowing how intermingled to the point that you're made one with God again through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus told this leper who came back and he fell at Jesus' feet. Now, I got to end this on a high note because that's beautiful. Before, he had to stand far away and shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. But now he knows, I've been made clean by the Master. I have a right to fall at His feet. Now, hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! I don't have to approach Him anymore, crying, unclean, unclean, unclean. I can come boldly to His throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. Hallelujah! And Jesus' powerful words to close the story. He tells him, he says, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Notice Jesus didn't even mention his time about him going to the high priest. I doubt he did, to be honest with you. He probably didn't go. Why? He was a Samaritan. They wouldn't even let him in the temple anyway. But it did not matter that an earthly priest declare him clean. The heavenly priest had declared him clean. And that's the one that matters. Hallelujah! It don't matter if your denomination won't call you clean. It don't matter if your church won't call you clean. It don't matter if friends and relatives and family won't call you clean. But if you've met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and placed your faith in His shed blood and He's called you clean, you are clean. You got a reason to rejoice. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there's the introduction to this sermon. There's a whole lot more. You'll see these notes I got here. I think the Holy Ghost made His point, though. That's all that's important. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Are you grateful for what Jesus did for you on the cross? Do you understand how hopeless we all were until He came walking our way that day? If you understand that, your heart is dancing right now. Your spirit is rejoicing in your God and Savior. That's the spirit of thanksgiving that should be in the believer every day of his life. It's good we set aside this time of year to have time with family, friends, and get together and share a meal. It's a very spiritual thing. It really is. But as we do it, daily, may we not forget and be thankful for what our Lord and Savior did for us when He cleansed us from sin and declared us clean by His mighty sacrifice on the cross. And because of that, one day very soon, church, and I want to close on this, one day very soon, we're going to have a family dinner together around the throne of God. And when we have that dinner, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Bible calls it. It's called that because the Lamb Jesus, who gave His life for His bride, all of those that are washed in His blood are considered biblically His bride. He's going to call them to His banqueting table. And we're going to have a great feast up there. And I'll see Kathy Fish up there. And I won't see her like I saw her that last day I saw her in the hospital, with her face contorted in pain and her head swollen almost as big as a basketball. I'll see her in a glorified body. I'll see that beautiful smile of Kathy's one more time. And she'll be wearing all white, redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. Your loved ones who you watched go on will be at that dinner if they died in faith in Christ. That's our heritage. That's our future, church. Not only is it glorious in the here and now, it's going to be much more glorious just a little further down the road. So you've got reason to rejoice. You've got reason to be thankful to Jesus when you look at all He's done for all of us and is yet going to do. And I just felt the Holy Ghost prompt me. Some of you need an answer to prayer today. I mean, dire situations you've been praying about. And not only has the Lord redeemed us and washed us from sin, but with that comes His assistance, His help, our ability to approach the throne of God, just like this one leper did. We don't have to be afraid to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus because we're made clean by His blood. And before this service is dismissed, if that's you, I want you to slip up a hand right now. We're going to pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. Are there any others? Any others at all? Well, that's okay. One's enough. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, You're a miracle worker. Jesus, just like You cleansed these lepers, all You have to do is speak the word into the situations that the hands were raised for. And in the name of Jesus, I believe You to do that right now. We put our faith together as a church for everyone who raised their hand. And we ask in Jesus' name for the power of God to move on those situations. Lord, there are others I know in my spirit, I sense it, who for whatever reason didn't raise their hand. That's okay. But Father, I pray for them right now. Ones that are saying in their heart, why didn't I raise my hand? I should have. That's okay. This is how much God loves you and wants to help you out. He's having me even pray for those of you who didn't raise your hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of in admitting you need help and admitting something's above your head. And you don't have to pray no fanciful prayer to Him. As we pray this next portion of the altar call, just say, God, help me. He'll know and understand. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for anyone else who needs your miraculous power to move in an area of their life, I ask in the name of Jesus right now that that be done. And we believe it to be so in Jesus' mighty name. With every head bowed now and every eye closed, I want to ask you the question, are you right with God this morning? Are you a spiritual leper this morning? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Either you're a sinner with sin eating away at your spirit and destroying your life, or you're one of the redeemed in Jesus Christ. There is no middle ground. I want to ask you, where are you this morning? Which group are you in? Are you right with God? Or is sin slowly eating away at your life and destroying you? Jesus loves you. He'll redeem you. He'll cleanse you. But He will not make you answer His call and answer the pull of His Holy Spirit. But if you're here this morning and you're a sinner and you know you're not right with God, but you want to be, Jesus is walking by for you right now just like He did for these lepers. His Spirit is here. He's walking by for you. And if you'll cry out to Him for mercy, you'll get the same result these lepers got. He'll have that mercy and He'll cleanse you from that sin and He'll deliver you from that sin. Are there any here today who would say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not right with God. Unashamedly right now, would you hold up a hand? Are there any? I won't embarrass you in any way, I promise. Are you right with God? Just a moment longer. I'm letting the Holy Spirit work. I believe He's telling me, wait, wait, wait. Are there any? Are there any? I need to be right with God. I'm tired of the enslavement of sin. I'm tired of the loneliness of sin. I'm tired of what I know it's doing on the inside of me. Sin is your problem. I'm telling you, if you're without Christ, sin is your problem. It's not cocaine, and it's not Jack Daniels, and it's not heroin. Those are symptoms of your problem. Your problem is sin. And only Jesus can fix that for you. Only Jesus Christ can heal the sin. Are there any? I want to be right with God. Hold your hand up high and unashamedly. Praise God. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving with your families. We won't be having service on Wednesday night because so many travel that day and are making preparations for those coming in if they're not going somewhere. And I just want to extend to you and your families, pray you have a joyous Thanksgiving. I know if you're in Christ, you'll have a blessed Thanksgiving. But let us live every day of our lives reminding ourselves of what we could have been had He not come and cleaned us and declared us clean. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love these people in this congregation, and I thank You for them. Lord, a pastor couldn't have a finer bunch of folks to be pastor over. And Lord, I'm asking You to bless their holiday time. Lord, make it a spiritual time, Lord. And Lord, spiritual time is not always prayer and Bible reading. That's a part of it. Sometimes it's just enjoying their family, laughing around a table together. Lord, bless everyone's holiday with Your presence. And Lord, as some congregate with lost family members will be there, I ask You'll let the glorious light of the gospel shine through the lives of these in this congregation to their lost family members in such a way that those lost family members would want to come to Christ. Let them see the joy. Let them see the peace that we have of knowing Christ Jesus. And Lord, it's just like the great orator A.W. Tozer said, to our lost loved ones we're going to congregate with this holiday season, let us preach the gospel to them. And if necessary, use words. Let our lives preach the gospel to them. Bless each and every family here with a wonderful and joyous Thanksgiving. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give him a hand of praise this evening or this morning?